Good friend of the show, Jamie Thomas, joins us again. JT, how you doing?
I'm trying to remember the last time I had a Big Mac.
So, the kind of life you live in, James. You're all high and tight over there now, eh? Jeez.
Well, I moved up in the budget department a little bit, so I don't have to eat McDonald's as much as I used to. So life is good.
Yeah, but you miss it, though.
Oh, I miss the Big Macs for sure, yes. I miss walking across the street hungover with the Big Mac in tow.
You know what? It'd be a good question. What's missed more, Jamie Thomas missing his Big Macs or the Jets missing Ehlers and Dubois tonight?
Well, number two, obviously. I think when you think about what they've gone through over the last stretch here, especially starting with that 6-1 loss to Edmonton, it was pretty bleak here for a bit. And now they've got used to not having Nikolaj Ehlers in the lineup, but they've accepted the fact that he's not there. And Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't really reached that level that they were hoping for. He hasn't looked entirely comfortable here with the Winnipeg Jets. So you're going to miss them, but you're used to it. Clearly the place where you miss Nikolaj Ehlers the most is on the second unit power play, because the Jets 2-for-22 with the man advantage since Nikolaj Ehlers got hurt in that game against Toronto. Scheifele and Wheeler have the only two power play goals in that time frame. So what they had is they had two units that could hurt you, whereas before, you remember in 2018 and 19, they just had the one power play unit. They'd stay out there for a minute 45, normally 2 minutes. Now Paul Maurice had two power play units that could hurt you in different ways. And that's been taken away. So the pressure has fallen entirely on that top power play unit with Connor Scheifele, Stastny, and Wheeler, and Neil Pionk. And it's been tough. That seam pass that worked so long for Blake Wheeler feeding Patrick Laine, and now it's going to Mark Scheifele, has been almost cut off entirely. So they're trying to find different ways to score with a man advantage, and they're hoping for more pucks to front of the net tips and scrambles in front of the net. So it's not easy being with either one of them. Clearly the biggest loss was Nikolaj Ehlers. He's getting closer. They skated him really hard today after morning skate, and with the idea that he's getting that one step closer. But tonight they're going to miss a number 27 in a big way.
Jamie, take us through the discussion seems to be around, improving their game and get it more ready for the playoffs. Have you seen anything like that?
Yeah, they're giving up less off the rush, right? They're rush defense, and I keep using that 6-1 game, and so is Paul Maurice. That was that place where he's kind of pointed to the guys, was that if you play like this, this is what's going to happen. And their rush defense was horrible that night. It's got a lot better, and they haven't turned the puck over in the neutral zone as much. There's been more team defense thought first, and Paul Maurice keeps referring to one brain. They're using it's all one brain working together right now, where the fastest, the slowest, the best, the lowest talented player on the roster, they're all together right now. It's gotten better, and I know the results weren't there, but it's that team defense process is thought first, and then everything else becomes second. So that's a long-winded way of saying yes, it's getting there, but the results only have started to kick in recently. And I think those last two wins, while albeit they were already in the playoffs and their playoff positioning was kind of sealed at that point, they were important because they're just starting to, it's finally all that hard work has kind of paid off.
Jamie Thomas joins us in Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, breaking down the Jets and the Oilers. And easier said than done, Jamie, but the Jets, if they want to have any chance in this series, they got to slow down McDavid. He scored 2 points in every game. He's had 4 points in a game. He's had 3 in 2 other games, and it doesn't matter who goes against him. Like, he's been shredding them. But I have to assume you're going to give Mark Scheifele the opportunity. He's their best center. You're going to give Scheifele the first crack and then probably mix in a little bit of Adam Lowry's line. Is that what you sense is going to go tonight?
Yeah, there's no question about that, right? It's hard to, no disrespect to Paul Stastny, but that's not where his forte comes in. And, without Pierre-Luc Dubois in there as your big centerman, you can't muscle up against either Draisaitl or McDavid. I think you're right. Like, Mark Scheifele said a long time ago, he's always wanted to be talked about in the same breath as Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby of the league. This is his opportunity. He raised his game a big way and kind of came on the market. People didn't really know who Mark Scheifele was until 2018. Now, this opportunity is coming up again. He's asked for it. You go back to the benching that he had against the Toronto Maple Leafs. He wasn't happy about it, but that was kind of it was about shift length at that point. And, you know, Paul Maurice was not so much, the message was the shifts have to be short because the season's so compressed and this is, you want to be fresh heading the playoffs. And that message was sent that night against the Maple Leafs. And now being reunited with Blake Wheeler and Kyle Connor, they've looked better at both ends of the rink. And I think he's looking forward to this challenge of trying to contain Connor McDavid, which we all know is way easier to do when the puck's in the offensive end of the rink rather than the defensive end trying to shut down McDavid. So I look forward to that. And then you look at with Adam Lowry is a pretty good second option because the game here, the Jets did a great job containing Connor McDavid 5-on-5. They had 6 penalties, and eventually the wheels fall off no matter how good your penalty kill is, which the Jets do have a very good penalty kill, and they got in trouble that way, and they get the points that way. So they feel confident they can contain him 5-on-5, but it's going to be heavily on the shoulders of the top line. And I will say this, for the first time since I've been here, Blake Wheeler's actually healthy going to the playoffs. And you've kind of seen that his game going to another level right now where it hasn't been throughout the year. He admitted it came up that he played with cracked ribs. And then the concussion clearly from the elbow from Brady Tkachuk. So that him being healthy is a big role in them, and I'm talking about the top line, going to be able to go up against the top line of the Edmonton Oilers or even the second line.
Breaking down the Winnipeg Jets from 680 CJOB in Winnipeg, Jamie Thomas. Jamie, how do the Winnipeg Jets balance the contact, the physicality of seeing the playoffs with keeping the Oilers off the power play?
Yeah, that Logan Stanley was asked about that today, and it's the big, you get into the playoffs, the intensity rises, and they've been playing games that kind of haven't mattered for a long time. And I know you had to clinch the playoff spot, but I think there's that 16-point lead for the final playoff spot in the North Division. And that's where things kind of went downhill from there. And the physicality hasn't really been there, I think. And Paul Maurice even said this, the North Division this year, at least from the Winnipeg Jets perspective, has not prepared the team for the playoffs. And they had that with the Central Division. It's like a heavier game within the Central Division where the Jets ordinarily play year after year. So they have to kind of get to that point right now. So to answer your question is there, Logan Stanley is a big body. It's all about the gaps and keeping space and containing and then finishing your checks without taking yourself out of the play. And I think they can do that. Like Neil Pionk and Derek Forbort have been attached to the hip all year. They've been pretty good. And I know Neil Pionk's kind of been a thorn in the side at points against Draisaitl and McDavid. And then Dylan DeMello and Josh Morrissey are back together, and they're very good at moving the puck, which you have to do clearly in your own end against the Edmonton Oilers. So I feel better about this defensive core than I did a year ago. Logan Stanley has really elevated his game since he was paired up with Jordy Benn, who came over at the trade deadline from the Vancouver Canucks. So I like this group of defensemen that they had this year than I suppose the one they had last year. And that's clearly where this series could be won, because that the defense pairings are going to be put under a lot of pressure over these next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Jamie Thomas joins us, breaking down the Oilers and the Jets. He's from CJOB in Winnipeg. Connor Hellebuyck obviously is, but he's great goaltender, had really good numbers except in the series against the Edmonton Oilers. And, part of that's because, you got the two leagues leading scores. And, we talk so much about McDavid. And so what are they going to do against him? But then you have Leon Draisaitl. And so if Scheifele's getting McDavid one shift and then Lowry, does that mean Stastny's lines going up against Draisaitl?
Well, I think if that's the way it goes, that's not the matchup that Paul Maurice wants, right? But that's sometimes it's going to come down to it. And, we keep forgetting, and this is a big reason why Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis were bought in the offseason. I'm not saying this is the matchup that you're going to get, but every once in a while, the fourth line is going to go up against either Draisaitl and McDavid. And I believe it's going to be Dominic Toninato on the left side. But those guys, and Paul Maurice said, if you're comfortable putting Trevor Lewis and Nate Thompson up against Draisaitl and McDavid at 5-on-4, you're very comfortable putting them up against them 5-on-5 on the odd occasional shift. So I think it's more than just the Stastny line. It's probably like a four-line thing you're talking about here in the rotation. But I think they'd like to stay away from any type of Paul Stastny line going up against either one of McDavid or Draisaitl, but that is going to come up against it. It's going to be on Lowry and Scheifele, period, guys. That's just the way this is going to roll. But Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis are going to play a big role in this as well.
What about the coaching battle? Two experienced coaches, Paul Maurice, it doesn't seem like he's really gets rattled by too much, but, you know, do you think he can bring anything here to this group to try to two teams that know each other so well?
I think he can because, you know, there was that, again, I go back to that game against Toronto where Scheifele was benched and Connor Hellebuyck was pulled, right? He gave up 3 goals on 6 shots. He said, you know, sometimes you want to take the heat on yourself to get the attention away from the team. And then there was the 1,000th game here in Winnipeg for Paul Stastny. And apparently this was the room. It was like a Winston Churchill type speech beforehand. In the dressing room that got the players going, Maurice said that he needed to give some type of speech to shed some positivity or something to get built up for. Without fans in the building, they've had a hard time getting that energy level up every night, but to have that positive with Paul Stastny, something to work off there. There's a great speech, apparently got the guys all worked up, and then Paul Stastny said afterwards, there's a lot of young players on this team right now that don't realize what they have in Paul Maurice. A lot of coaches are like X and O guys. A lot of guys are kind of militant, like, you know, do this, do this. But Paul Maurice is that guy, is a quote unquote player's coach. And, you know, Paul Stastny said one day these younger guys are going to realize how great they have in a coach in Paul Maurice. So I think he adds a little bit of that player's coach, but has kept the mood light in the dressing room throughout a very long year. And I'm talking about this is for every team. Let's not kid ourselves. It hasn't been easy for any of these guys this year, with no fans in the building, and then with the COVID having to deal with that as well. So I just think he's kept it light all year, and I think that's going to help them in this series against the Edmonton Oilers.
Jamie, enjoy the series, my man. Quickly, give me your thoughts, Toronto-Montreal. What do you see happening there?
Oh, my gosh. Will the world shut down if Toronto loses, right? I want to go at least game 6. And the Canadians have fans in the building. We'll see how it goes from there. But I think Canadians give them a little bit more of a run for their money than a lot of people think they are going to.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that, JT. We'll talk to you throughout the series. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Have a great day.